So what I was suggesting was, I would like to invite the LSB chairs to participate, to give a report at PNB meetings. It could be useful in terms of keeping in touch with what's happening locally. It could be useful in terms of giving them more buy-in into the into being a member of the the network that their opinion is sought and asked for. So, Afia, you wanted to comment on that?
Yes, I was going to suggest that a part of the consideration for scheduling might include the upcoming in-person meeting, so that
right.
We're getting input leading up to it and making sure and being able to monitor the progress of the development in support of the meeting.
Yes.
I'm not sure the best way to do that, but I think that needs to be a part of our thinking.
So you're thinking about having the chair in Los Angeles, for instance, sometime, say 3 or 4 weeks out, or maybe even longer, giving some an update as to how things are going in terms of preparations.
Exactly.
Did I get that right? Yeah.
And also, I'd also like to add, George, with the in-person meeting, that I guess I should put it in the form of a motion, which my laptop is acting up. At the in-person meetings, to have the way we used to do it before, where the chair and the general manager used to share the time, and have the chairs of the local station boards maybe a third of the time, that that they get, and have their reports also put into the board book. I remember those days. When their reports were in, give a deadline for them to be in there. And the reports should have maybe a guide as to what you want in the reports. We don't want a whole lot of stuff that's not related to Pacifica in the reports.
Yeah. I'll second that. This is Richard.
So are you talking about just the chair? Certainly speaking would be just the chair from the place we're at, the L.A., say, for the next one. But you're saying have reports from all the stations, LSB chairs, at the
right.
At
we'll be used to, right. Have a written report. When Christine sends out the notice, send them the notice also saying the report is due on X date, just the way she does for the PNB committee chairs. To be included.
Okay. And correct me if I'm wrong, Nia. I think you're saying that in addition to the written reports from everybody, that the whatever station we're visiting, that LSB chair gets to talk for, 10 minutes or something while the GM is talking for 20 or 30?
So 10 minutes would be a third of the time, yes. Yeah, for a third of the time. So that's what used to happen. And I think
Well, any objections to that or any thoughts about it?
I think it's good.
Anybody else want to speak to it?
Right. This is Alonzo. So you're saying that the LSB heads of all the stations would give a physical report, a report where they would actually be at the conference?
No. Just the one. The only physical report would be the one that was at the station we were having the meeting at.
Okay.
He has to submit a written report.
All right.
Well, that would circulate, so they would get to do an in-person report. So I don't hear any objection to that. So I'm not exactly sure. I don't think there's a problem. I think when we set the agenda for that meeting, we'll just do that. And I think it's probably within our purview to do that. But maybe we need to get approval of PNB for it. But I don't think so. But I don't think that's necessary. So I don't hear any objection to my thoughts about the getting involved in the LSB chairs more, and I'll work something out with them to do that. That's about it. The last thing on the agenda is priorities for the year.
Chair? Mr. Chair,
yes.
Could I make a comment about you were talking earlier about the unfinished stuff that's on the agenda that just kind of rides there forever and ever. As I read Robert's Rules, and it's an exciting read, as I read that, most of the meetings that it talks about, you put something on the agenda as new business or something like that, and then if you don't get to it, it goes to unfinished business, and then if you don't get to it the next meeting, it drops off the agenda so that you don't just ride stuff along. And I think if we did something like that that was more, that we paid attention and monitored it, if there was something that was real pressing, then somebody would get excited about it and get it up into the attention of what's going on. I think it's a bad practice to let things just sit there over two meetings and gather dust.
Tracy, for the sec.
Tracy, go ahead.
I'm gonna slightly object, and forgive me if as a newbie I'm out of line here, but I have listened to your calls from time to time, and I think what's being suggested is a little bit harsh in terms of the time and energy limitations this board has to deal with and the amount of time and the amount of, you know, emergency type scenarios that are thrown at it. In other words, I don't think we're going to get to a lot of really important stuff in two meetings after they're put on the agenda. I think there may be a scenario where at a certain point it drops off the agenda, perhaps eight consecutive meetings or some larger number than that. But I think two is not realistic, and I wouldn't recommend that. I think you'd have the other problem of things being reintroduced as new business over and over again.
Yeah. Anybody else want to speak to this?
Isaiah, can we establish, or do we have a sense of the amount of time, the average amount of time it takes in items to move up the agenda? Excuse me.
You mean how long have these things been on the agenda for the ones that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that some of them have been on there for at least 5 months. I'm pretty sure of that.
Maybe we could start with what is moot, if there's something on there that's moot.
Yeah, I will do that for sure. I think it also has to do to some extent with the board self-discipline. That is to say, if there are things on there which are not really, you know, they're really old and they haven't been, they can be tabled right away. It doesn't take any time at all. But at least it would have been dealt with, or we can have a short discussion and you know, people can sort of, not everybody has to say, you know, what has to be said and move on. So I'm not exactly sure what I'm saying, but I think that we could handle it a lot faster than we have been. And if we make it a point to put unfinished business before we have new business, so that there's a certain systematic urgency for dealing with these things, maybe we can do that. So what I'd like to do is to just give it a try the next two meetings to complete the unfinished business, and to sort of not put a drop dead date on it of two sessions, and see what we do. If it continues to start accumulating, then maybe we have to do something else. But I mean, the effect of that, of course, would be that people really cared about it would bring it back in new business. Which maybe isn't a bad thing, but so I just like to sort of let's see how it goes first before we worry about it much further.
George,
that's all right. Yeah,
George.
I'm sorry, Nia.
This is Nia. Could Could you repeat? I just want to make sure I'm clear about what you're saying, because I have an opinion, but I want to make sure I'm not misunderstanding you. Could you repeat what your position is, what you're saying?
I'm saying that we should not have a drop-dead date for the unfinished business, where it just gets taken off the agenda if it's not handled in two sessions. That we should wait and see whether it becomes a problem. That we attempt to deal with the unfinished business we've got in an expeditious way. And if we can and it works, then we don't need to have that kind of rule. If it doesn't, then we can revisit it.
Yeah, I don't think. I think we should just leave them. You know, I'm not for taking them off.
Okay.
So let's try to deal with them expeditiously. Manage the meeting well, so that we can finish. We can try to get to them, but not to take them off. Okay. I want to make sure that I heard you clearly.
Yeah, that's at least for the moment, that's my position.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay. Priorities for the year. I mean, I was thinking sort of having a discussion about, and I don't know that this is not really supposed to be an executive committee, but in terms of either priorities for the committee, or what do you see as priorities for the work we need to get done this year as a PNB? I mean, as the chair, I'd kind of like some feedback about your own sense of where we need to go and what's really urgent. The financial system situation is clear. I mean, it's really urgent. It's clear to Arlene and LaVarne. It's really urgent. They say they're going to come back in about 3 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks, perhaps, with a revised financial policies and procedure statement, which we'll then have to pass and see that it's implemented. My feeling is that for the moment, let's let them carry the ball. There's not much we can do anyway. But other things. It's clear we have to raise more revenue. I mean, there's only so much you can do by cutting staff. And sort of how we're going to get that, how we're going to do that seems to me to be the central issue. But I would just like to hear from other people what they think.
Joe Forsyth.
Okay, Joe.
Yes. And Nia.
And then Nia.
Yeah, I agree with your general observations of where we need to go. I mean, I think that, you know, people say, and obviously I agree, that, you know, we have to address the finances. But, you know, at the end of the day, the finances are a function of everything else. So if everything else isn't working properly, the finances are going to suffer. You know, a lot of our financial problems have been a result of badly run elections, bad personnel policies and procedures, and so forth. So, you know, we need to look at risk management issues, for example, and make sure that we're not, you know, make sure that we're not, you know, there are not accidents waiting to happen that we're not addressing preemptive, you know, in other words, be aggressive and proactive around that. Obviously, the money that our revenue comes from programming. I think that there were a couple of attempts last year that didn't happen. Have a discussion around the relationship between programming and our finances, and it becomes a tricky question. On the one hand, yes, we need to cut costs. We've now sort of allowed us, we've ratcheted up our expenses because of just overhead costs, and for a long time, until recently, we've been reluctant to address the question of just of how to cut back on those overhead costs and be in this constant battle, in this constant effort to see how can we raise more money. And that pushes us dangerously in the direction of supporting programming that's dubious as to the mission, because it raises money. On the other end of that spectrum, there is a lot of programming that is good and incidentally raises a lot of money, but which there's a lot of consternation about. At KBFK recently, they actually had a very successful fund drive, but there was a lot of complaints about the kind of programming, for example, Gary Null and so forth, that was put on the air to generate that money. So there's always going to be different opinions as to what the programming is mission, you know, is mission based or not. I think it would be useful. I guess the main point is that we need to, you know, have a discussion about how to realistically ratchet down costs so that our operating model is more sustainable and realistic. And then we have to have a discussion about, you know, programming in relation to revenue generation, and should revenue generation be the only, you know, because that's increasingly becoming the main criteria to judge the value of a program. How much money does it raise? And I think that's extremely dangerous. So those are the kind of things I think we should get to really take a long, hard look at.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Nia?
Yeah. I would suggest that we put on the agenda an item for the entire board to discuss what our priorities are and what the direction should be, and not for us as a coordinating committee to come up with one. Maybe we should put that.
No, I think that for sure. I was sort of essentially asking, since I've got you all here, to get some feedback from you all as to what you thought.
Yeah, well, I think the finances definitely. That discussion to me should be at least an hour discussion, and seriously think about what we're going to do, because as we know, we don't have any money, and what we're going to do about it. I mean, I can't think of anything else that is more important right now.
Okay. Anybody else want to speak?
This is E.T. I'd like to say something about programming as fundraising.
Yeah.
And I'm particularly concerned about the way that programs of color and apparently politically unpopular programs have been cut in the name of fundraising, or having programming that is more popular or generates more funds. One, two, I think that there is something to be said about the programming that generates funds and an assessment of the source of the complaints. Are the complaints coming from folk whose programs have been preempted, or what is the quantum and quality of the criticism, and how does it work into the larger mission? And thirdly, I think that there has to be some valuation of the participation and the role and significance of CPB required programming. CPB requires a diversity and a programming, and that I don't think that that's satisfied either for CPB or for the Pacifica Mission if we're putting them all in the middle of the night. Which brings me to my third point, and that is that I recognize the need to hold all programmers accountable, and a part of meeting that accountability may mean that there has to be some training and strategic planning and programmatic development, both in terms of the programming content and style, and so that they do what they do better, not that they're told what to do, number one. And number two, how do you developing an audience and getting an audience to be responsive, donating money, volunteering, and those kinds of traditional activities that are sought but that are not always forthcoming, in fact, are usually not forthcoming, from communities of color, non-traditional communities, low-income communities in order to be able to develop that, to empower and develop that aspect of the community, of the listenership, of the programmers. So it's not just a matter of learning how to be a grassroots journalist, but it's also how to be a grassroots fundraiser, pitch maker, all of those things that are going to genuinely and substantively engage the community and affirm that participation. Of course, a part of that includes making for a hospitable environment where people are going to feel that they are affirmed, recognized, and their contribution is appreciated.
Anybody else want to speak?
Alonzo.
Yeah.
I think that Pacifica should think in terms of creating a program or programs that address the needs of the public, the American audience, and reward the stations that agree to have these programs broadcast by giving them something for allowing these programs to be aired instead of the local shows. Local stations have this thing about holding on to their programming. So if Pacifica could design a way in which those programs that agree to the airing of this public program that I'm talking about, that they be rewarded in some way for agreeing to give up some of their local time.
George, could I add to that?
Who's that?
That's Sophia.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to affirm the idea of network-wide programming, and I want to particularly affirm the call that you've made several times about national events being broadcast throughout the network. I'm very concerned about the narrow station-centric definition of local programming. I don't think that I think that it's necessary as a network that there is. We're going to ultimately have to deal with the issue of must carry. And what that winds up looking like and how we reconcile the point that Alonzo makes with regard to local stations, the individual stations not wanting to give up local time, but a part of being in a network that is moving into the 21st century is having a broader, more functional definition and joining the rest of the world in the movement forward. I mean, that's a part of what Twitter is about. That's a part of what Facebook is about. And yes, even folks, that's a part of what radio is about, is represented by satellite. And I think that, I'm not sure where it sits in the order of things, but two things that I definitely want to see us do this year is to pursue the Al Jazeera English opportunity and the satellite radio opportunity. And that definitely means having a broader, more inclusive, more mature definition of what it means to have local programming and our relationship to the rest of the world, and a substantive move towards the realization of our mission in a global, universal sense.
anyone else want to speak?
Richard?
Richard, go ahead.
I think what Afia and Alonzo and apparently George, you said something about responding. I think all that is for us, or is or should be cutting edge for us. I think if we started doing more of that our funds would come up, because people would wake up. We have put people to sleep, and these old programs that are 20, 30 years old with doing the same thing that's been done. But before I get into that, I want to touch on that just a bit. But the first thing, our first priority needs to be to respond to everything on that audit that was terrible and get it fixed. But I think that most, if not all of that, is staff responsibility. I think that it's incumbent on us to support our staff, to support the ED and the CFO, and make sure that they get it done, but make sure we support them. And you know, we were talking about, well, what hasn't been done in the last couple of years, et cetera, et cetera. We haven't had an ED, we haven't had a CFO, and we haven't supported them. If we support them and ensure that they get their job done, then that stuff will come along. But this programming-wise, you know, it was amazing to me when the earthquake hit Haiti, that we kind of came around about a week later or something. We need to be able to respond to stuff like that. And it's going to, you know, it's a big old tough world, and stuff's going to be popping all the time from now on out. And we need to be able to respond. And we need to be the place where people come to hear about it, to find out about it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talk about talking truth to power and stuff like that. That's where you do it, because when stuff happens like it happened in Haiti, if somebody like Pacifica is not there shining the light, well, a lot of that stuff's going to get covered up, and it'll be back to business as usual. So I think that what Afia is talking about and what Alonzo was saying about making us, I know it's a cliche, the lean and mean thing, but having some training and planning, we have to do some strategic planning to know how to go into those things, and we have to be ready to go, and we have to have a trained setup, and that may very well mean, like Alonzo was saying, that when the things start snapping and somebody's program gets preempted, we don't want to just rush over those folks. We want to make sure they feel like they're part of the team and that they're stepping aside momentarily so that we can get the word out.
Anyone else want to speak? Okay, we're out of time, actually. That's what 9 o'clock is when we said we were going to quit. So I want to thank you all for your comments and for being here, and unless there's something else that needs to be done. We should probably decide on when our regular meeting is going to be, or whether we want to have regular meetings.
This is Nia, George.
Yeah, Nia, what's been the practice?
Yeah, that depends on when the next board meeting is going to be. And, you know, we would try to meet at least about 10 days before that.
Before the in-person board meeting, you mean, or board?
No. The teleconferences.
Okay. Has that been the general practice?
That's when Sherry was the chair, that's what we used to do. And if he was on that also.
But last year we met on an as-needed basis. And it was more, I think, Joe, you can correct me, it was more tied to the in-person meetings than there was to the teleconferences, just because, I mean, for no other reason, we were having them every week, and at a minimum every other weekend. So I don't know. I would urge that we play it by ear to start off with.
Are we going to try to have our meetings? Are we going to try to have our meetings once a month rather than every other week or every week?
Oh, please! I second that. I'll make the motion once a month. Yes, that's the motion once a month. No, we can't have that abuse that way. But because it's probably what it's being said, I think if we want to get ourselves organized, I think we should have. Because then to make up the agenda, does that mean that some people just go off to the side and make up the agenda and the rest of the coordinating committee members don't know? How would the agenda be made?
I'm going to take anybody who sends in a motion 7 days in advance is going to be able to get it on the agenda. In terms of the order, there may be some things, you know, emergency items that come in from Lena LeVon or whatever, but that's my intention is to make the agenda essentially transparent. Anybody who wants to get something on can get it on.
Well, I would like to the coordinating committee meet about 10 days before the teleconference so that we can organize the agenda. I think it seems more organized to me, and all that's what the coordinating committee is for.
I don't get that.
Given the amount of time that we spend at the beginning of every meeting arguing about what should be on and when, I really am not prepared to do that twice. I don't have that kind of time.
So, anybody else want to speak to this about when, you know, regular meetings versus when we need to? Or
this is Joe. I'm a little distracted, but it seems to me, I mean, we're a regular committee, so we should have meetings on some kind of regular basis. There's a whole range of issues we may address. And, I mean, you know, we meet as often as we need to, I think, is the way I'd look at it.
Well, how about if we schedule a regular meeting once a month, and if we need to have something more urgent than that, we'll stick it in?
The end of the month.
Other than Tuesday or Thursday?
Other than Tuesdays or Thursdays.
Yes.
Well, how about if we send out an email and people say what would work for them? Let's say roughly, what is this? This is the second week in February. How about in the second or third week of March? And just say when you can. What days work for you best?
What is that board meeting going to be after the 21st?
The board meeting is on the 21st, right?
Yeah, but the one after that will be
in
March.
I'm pretty sure it'll be in March, yeah.
Right. So, but I hear what Afia is saying. We should probably say maybe you're saying no Tuesday, no Thursday, Afia?
Let's do a poll. I'll send out an email. You'll send me back which nights work best for you and which nights don't, and we'll go from there. How about that? Any objection to that? What's that?
how long is that going to take? Most of us are on here now. If we say the third, maybe the
you
want to
do it right now? I don't know. So Fia says she can't do Tuesday and Thursday. Prefers Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I gather.
So maybe
I have problems with Mondays two nights a month. What's that?
Okay. Yeah. I'll make a motion for the second Wednesday of every month, pending changing it if it doesn't work in a particular month.
That's the WPFW board meeting. On Wednesday.
Also WBAI.
Well, darn it. Is it the second Wednesday of every month?
Yes.
Okay.
How about the first Wednesday?
Exactly.
First Wednesday of every month. Okay. That's fine.
Any objection to the first Wednesday? Woohoo! Okay. Wednesday in March. We'll meet again unless there's something really urgent before then.
Right.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
Good night, all. Meeting's adjourned.
Okay. Good night.
Thank you,
everybody. Bye-bye.
Good night.